Welcome to Two Idiots and a Dog, Idiots Unleashed.
What's our witty opening this week?
I thought you were going to do one.
Oh, it was your turn this week.
What? No, I've been busy with my day job.
Yeah, well, so have I.
Kaiju, what is our witty opener?
She probably doesn't care. She probably just wants to get belly rubs. Or maybe she's staring forlornly at your door because we were monsters and locked her in there.
Yeah, I don't really know what I was expecting there. Well, in any case, I'm Grim.
I think I'm Zolgar. And Kaiju is, well, like I say, probably staring forlornly at Grim's door because we were monsters and locked her in the room with him.
She is now comfy on the bed.
Oh, okay.
And staring forlornly at me, actually, because she knows I could open the door.
She's like, why aren't you opening that door, you monster?
Pretty much. Just a quick warning, this is an uncensored podcast, so you may hear adult language or other content not suited for children, the workplace, church, or, frankly, human consumption.
And this week, our topic is the One Person Army, as submitted by our friend Nyx over on the Discord server. If you have an idea for a topic for us, you can let us know on our Discord or social media, but you can only vote in the topic poll on Discord.
Now, stand back!
Because the idiots, we were unleashed a long time ago.
Pretty much. Do we even still have the leash?
We still have the leash because I need it for taking Kaiju for walks.
Fair point. So the one-person army is a common enough trope in media. It's very popular.
Yeah, I mean, you can't throw a rock without hitting a movie that uses it, and video games.
Well, video games are power fantasy, so most of your protagonists in video games are going to be one-person armies.
Yeah.
How it go?
It's like even the video games where your protagonist isn't necessarily a one-person army, they're still a one-person army even though they've got allies.
However, amongst these, we do have a few that we need to kind of shout out before we get into more on what a one-person army is because, well, they're kind of the archetypal examples.
Well, let's start off with one of the classics. Kind of the one that you go any, like, young boomer to older millennial male and ask him about the one-person army, or the one-man army specifically, you're probably going to get John Rambo.
I mean, we haven't done any actual, like, academic research into this or anything, but there is a non-zero chance John Rambo is the one who, if he didn't invent the one-man army, he's the one that catapulted it into the cultural zeitgeist.
I mean, there are a lot of concepts similar to it in mythology and media dating back to basically the history of recorded stories. So John Rambo is definitely one of the archetypal ones for the modern era of media. And it's kind of interesting because in the first instance of where we see Rambo, he's not a one-man army. In First Blood, he kills exactly one person, and that wasn't even really intentionally him killing somebody. But then, you know, we get to First Blood Part 2, and all bets are off.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the, I won't say most recent, but definitely most prevalent in pop culture example, who is, amusingly enough, another John.
John Wick. The Baba Yaga.
You send John to kill the fucking boogeyman. It's one of the best lines in, like, a while, honestly, in a movie. Just, ooh, chills. Like, this is the guy you call to kill the monsters. That's how scary he is.
And, I mean, the things we've seen him kill people with, the guy is a virtually unstoppable killing machine.
My personal favorite, though, is still the book.
Yeah.
From the third movie.
Was that the third or the second?
That was the third. Because okay. The third was the result of the second.
That's right. Honestly, they kind of blend together, especially since that whole series, it's like
one really shitty week.
Yeah. It's like maybe a month between the first and the fourth.
Yeah.
There is a third John we debated mentioning, but I think we can go ahead and mention it mostly because, well, we love the franchise.
Yeah, argument can be made for John McClane.
Yeah.
We're not going to get too much detail on that. Like, if you don't know who the fuck John McClane is, if you don't know what Die Hard is, why are you listening to us? Go watch a movie. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about two of the Die Hard movies already on this film. Yeah, this film. Yes, this film. I'm smart.
We're real with it today. It's like almost like we're a couple of idiots or something. Weird.
Kaiju has the brain cell right now.
What do you mean right now?
Every now and then you have the brain cell because you need it for work.
Definitely not. That's a whole lot of dudes, though. This is turning into a sausage party. So let's toss a couple of badass ladies out there. One of the ones that I really want to mention is Charlize Theron. Wait, what do you mean she just plays them? Oh, well, if you want to get technical, then I would say easy to name two of her characters, Andy from The Old Guard and Lorraine from Atomic Blonde. Because Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I actually thought of another woman from movies that we need to mention.
Oh, yeah?
She kind of actually gives either of those characters a run for their money in terms of body count. The Bride.
Yeah.
If you have not seen Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, first of all, go watch them. But Uma Thurman plays the bride, and dear God, she has a massive body count across those two movies.
Yeah. Andy could take her easy, though, because Andy is just fucking scary. I don't know about Lorraine. That'd be a mean fight, though.
Honestly, I think post Old Guard Andy, I think they would kill each other.
It's possible. But you also have to remember that Andy has forgotten more about killing people than most people learn in their entire life.
True. But the bride has the, like, super just death poke.
So we mentioned some video games, but we didn't really get very specific. So I'm going to go ahead and just drop three kind of rapid fire here. And then there's a fourth we're going to talk about a little bit. First, most obvious one is the Doomslayer.
And honestly, every single first-person shooter protagonist. But the Doomslayer is kind of up there because Doom has... The Doomslayer has been one protagonist across how many video games?
Yeah, I mean, depending on who you're talking to, if there is a unified timeline or not, never really been confirmed or denied, but I'm personally of the opinion they are a unified timeline with the exception of Doom 3, which really doesn't fit chronologically in, like, anywhere. Except maybe as a retelling of 1, but either way, there is some fucky shit that man has killed.
And also, we just have to give props to why he started killing every single demon in existence.
Don't fuck with the bunny.
Exactly. And if you think we're joking, look it up.
Her name was Daisy. And he remembers.
She was the best bun.
Like, this is such a thing, especially in the fandom, that there's a song done by JT Music, who I've mentioned on this podcast before, Song for Daisy, which is just singing about getting vengeance for Daisy. This is not a joke. This is a thing. But then you've got the flip side of the Doomslayer equation, which is going to be Samus Aran.
If you don't know that name, that is the protagonist from the Metroid series.
The things she kills are at a slightly different standard than the Doomslayer, but she's still killed a lot of bad guys.
And she gets some really cool tools to do it, too.
She really does. Whereas the Doomslayer gets by just on big guns and being too angry to fucking die.
Hey. He also uses a chainsaw.
True. And a really cool energy sword and or energy hammer in the two newer games. So that's, you know, that's pretty cool. Speaking of badass ladies in gaming, I need to name drop somebody else here. So I'm going to start off by saying that most of the female protagonists Resident Evil are fairly badass. But there is one among them who takes the cake. Because Jill Valentine is a fucking tank. And if you want to know how much of a tank she is, she took down Nemesis a biological weapon that was released to specifically target and kill surviving STARS members. And if you want to know how well that worked, between Nemesis and the Mansion incident, there's four left out of two entire strike teams. Four people survived. And Jill took this fucker down.
And there is one other we do need to mention briefly before we go into the fourth that you mentioned.
Oh yeah, who's that?
Link.
True. Between all of the various incarnations of the hero, Link. I mean, even if we just limit it to the Ganon's minions, damn.
The dude, in one reincarnation or another, has saved the world by not quite Doom levels of ultraviolence, but still some pretty good ultraviolence.
Yeah.
More times than most protagonists.
Yeah.
Also, you know, Tears of the Kingdom just came out, so we're being topical. Hey!
I stopped playing in order to do this. I hope you fuckers appreciate that. So this fourth one is kind of a little bit of a cop-out in that it's actually a stand-in for an entire genre of game.
And that is The Exile from Path of Exile. Or the protagonist of any other Diablo-style action RPG out there, really.
Yeah. And if you in the audience are sitting there wondering why we didn't go with Diablo, you don't know us very well. Come drop by our Discord sometime. We'd be happy to explain it. The Exile starts off as, literally, an exile. Nobody who was banished for crimes imagined or real to the nightmare hellscape that is Rayclast.
One of two survivors who washes up on a zombie-infested shore just in time to see the other survivor get eaten by a zombie.
Uh-huh. And you go from that beach to killing gods.
To killing eldritch entities.
We're talking Cthulhu and co.
Yeah. I mean, in that game, it's ridiculous the level of just obscene power you get. Because, like I say, you kill an entire pantheon of gods, and then when you're done with that, you decide to go explore the multiverse and kill eldritch gods in the multiverse.
Yep. But before that, you kill a whole ton of dudes. Just dudes. Dudes. You stack them up. And the thing of it is, this is very common with this genre of game. By the end of the first act of most of these games, you've probably killed enough people to equal the population of, I don't know, New York City?
Maybe not quite New York, but...
You've definitely cleared Manhattan.
Yeah, you've cleared at least a mid-sized city.
Yeah. And the reason we picked The Exile is because Path of Exile is kind of the game that inspired the conversation that got Nyx to suggest the topic. Because I was playing Path of Exile and I was sitting there going, man, can you imagine being the bad guy in one of these games? It's just like, boss, so-and-so is going to oppose you. Oh, well, we'll just send my guys to deal with him. Yeah, he already killed them. What, like all of them? Yeah. Well, send another squad. No. I mean, like, you don't have any minions left. What?
And of course, I also pointed out that, can you imagine being one of the, like, just general people in this world, too? You see this person go from this worthless nobody to, oh yeah, I'm just gonna kill like the ruler of this land, and then I'm gonna keep going up the food chain until I kill God, and then I'm gonna kill the rest of the gods, because why not?
And then when I run out of gods, I'm gonna go and find more gods. You're like some sort of weird cryptid that these people are like too afraid to contradict at this point, so they just go along with it.
Pretty much.
I don't know. He just shows up. He gives me all of these really powerful weapons that he says are trash tier, direct quote, and then he leaves again. I don't.
You know what would be hilarious in one of those games?
Hmm.
If you actually had a setting where like the guards of the town got better equipped as you kept selling stuff.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny. But yeah, this is the main core concept we wanted to talk about here, is just the concept of this singular person or entity who just keeps going.
There were two other examples that we had that we wanted to mention.
That's true. That's true.
From this little relatively obscure property called Star Wars.
Yeah, some low budget cheesy sci-fi shit. I'm sure most of you haven't even heard of it.
Yeah, it's pretty niche.
Yeah, so obviously we got to name drop my girl Ahsoka Tano.
And we never really see Ahsoka go one woman army, but we know she could. Everything we have seen her do, she is an absolute beast with her sabers.
I mean, let's run down the list, shall we? Trained by pretty much every elite Jedi lightsaber master in the Order when she was a Jedi.
Including her two primary teachers being ultimately two of the greatest Jedi to ever exist.
Real quick, let's run it down real quick, because we still got another example to get to. Everybody starts off being trained by Yoda.
Yep, she gets trained by Yoda.
Then she got mentored by Plo Koon, who, if you don't know who that is, the man is a fucking badass.
Yep.
This man is so badass, they shot him out of the sky because they knew they didn't have a fucking chance at taking him out on the ground for Order 66. Her direct mentor and master was Anakin Skywalker, and while we know what happened to him, you have to remember, he's a war hero of the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Anakin Skywalker was an amazing saber combatant. He was sometimes too aggressive and reckless, but he was a powerhouse in combat.
And we know his training for Ahsoka was above and beyond that of most. As a matter of fact, Tales of the Jedi showed us explicitly on screen, and also made it very clear explicitly on screen. That's why she survived Order 66.
Yeah.
Every other Jedi that was ambushed, with the exception of like a handful, got out through either sheer dumb luck or died. Ahsoka Tano countered her own ambush. Damn.
And then, of course, she was also trained by the person who trained Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, who is the perfect counter to Anakin's brash recklessness.
Yeah, Obi-Wan practices, I cannot remember the name off the top of my head, but it's the saber defense style. Specifically, it is the saber fighting style that focuses on defense. He is the patient combatant who will let you wear yourself out trying to break his defense.
He uses your own aggression against you. And we see him do that to Anakin so many times.
Yep. Okay, so that's just her training. Let's list off some of her accomplishments. As a teenager,
Hey, you forgot one.
What?
You forgot that she was also trained by the bad motherfucker himself.
That's true. She spent time under Mace Windu. Yeah, this girl was rubbing elbows with the fucking saber elites. Terrifying. And we get to see how terrifying. Because going back to her accomplishments, as a teenager, took down Maul. Didn't hold her own. Didn't have some sort of lucky thing. No, she beat him.
She could have killed Maul if she wanted to, and things didn't luck out for him.
Yeah. She took him down. This is the guy that killed Qui-Gon Jinn. This is the guy that survived being killed by Obi-Wan Kenobi. And while ultimately Kenobi does strike him down, Ahsoka is the one who just took him in. Not quite. Well, no, I'm going to say that was his prime. because when he killed Qui-Gon, he was a skilled warrior, but he didn't have that seasoning to really make him a prime warrior.
Yeah. When Ahsoka fought him, he had lost some of his physical prowess, but he was
a much more savvy fighter.
Yeah.
Survived Order 66 by countering her ambush. Like, let's see, Yoda is the only other one I can think of off the top of my head that did that. Because honestly, Kenobi got lucky. Kenobi got really lucky. He was on that rock lizard climbing around when they shot it and he fell and they were like, oh, he's dead. Except he wasn't. He got lucky.
I think there's a good possibility that Kenobi would have survived even if that weren't the case. But
certainly not with the sheer tenacity and I can't even think of the word for it, but that Ahsoka displayed.
Especially because the thing about when Order 66 occurred for Ahsoka, she was in a confined space.
She was in a confined space, completely surrounded, and she not only countered the ambush meant to kill her, but liberated Rex.
And if I recall right, she also did not kill any of the troopers that were trying to kill her.
Correct. And Rex was, once he finished getting his chip removed, was using stun. Those troopers died because the ship crashed.
Yeah. And she still felt horrible.
And then she took the time to bury them.
Yeah.
I was so disgusted that she just left her lightsabers behind and left. Yeah, she's terrifying.
And then she is also one of the only two people in Star Wars.
Hold on. I know where you're going with that. I got one more I want to bring up, because I think that's going to be a great segue to another character we want to talk about.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going for,
Tales of the Jedi, she takes down an Inquisitor.
Yeah.
Unarmed. Not the Inquisitor unarmed. He had his lightsaber. She was unarmed. And she kicked his ass. It wasn't even a fight.
No. She had a weapon. She had the Inquisitor's lightsaber.
This is just mine now. Like,
pretty much.
She locked him up and twisted him around like a pretzel. Dude had no chance. And I want to remind you, she started that fight with no weapon. She wasn't even wearing armor. She was wearing overalls. Because she was a farmer. She had retired to farm. And this guy showed up hunting her. So technically speaking, the guy got his ass beat by a farmer. On the fucking Outer Rim.
Ahsoka is a badass.
And as you were saying, one of the only two people to go up against?
Probably the biggest badass of the entire Star Wars universe. Darth Vader.
There are only, to date, two Jedi that have defeated or nearly defeated Darth Vader. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And Ahsoka Tano.
Every other Jedi who has survived, or even just Force-sensitive, who has survived an encounter with Darth Vader has done so by running the fuck away. Which I want to be clear is what a sane and rational person should do.
This is not entirely true. One of them survived partially by getting really lucky and Vader changing a little bit. And that is Luke Skywalker, of course.
Yeah. That's just nepotism at work. I mean,
and also
he made it out of there on the benefits and skills of his father. Let's be honest. For the few who don't realize, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father.
If somehow you don't know that, are you living under a rock?
It is like the quintessential plot twist trope.
No, I am your father.
No, that's impossible.
I know, I'm only like a year older than you.
Yeah, seriously, like what kind of fucking time travel bullshit is this? Who wrote this script? I want to have words.
We see Vader go full one-man army a couple of times in Rogue One and in Clone Wars. And the other place we see it is in the comics.
Well, minor point here. We never see him go full one-man army in Clone Wars, but we do see it in Rebels.
You're right. Sorry. That's what I meant to say.
Because while Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader, let's be honest, he was not Darth Vader during the Clone Wars. While they are the same person, they are very different people.
And honestly, Anakin was also a one-man army.
He was. He did some crazy shit. He did some crazy shit that should have got him killed.
The thing that really still stands out for me with Vader is from the comic books.
Yeah.
There is a scene where he is surrounded by a bunch of rebel troops, and they're basically trying to get him to stand down because they have him surrounded. And he just looks around and is like, all I am surrounded by is fear and dead men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the... You might think that that's arrogance, but no. That's just a sheer confidence in knowing what you can do. Because dude was virtually unbeatable.
Yeah. He took down a whole lot of top Jedi and top Force sensitives during the Imperial era. There is one other person who took him on equal footing, but that is no longer canon and may never have been canon now that I think about it.
Who's that one?
Starkiller from the Force Unleashed franchise. He takes Vader on and wins a couple of times, actually, but not canon, so. And to be clear, even if it was canon, Starkiller is, like, ridiculous. I mean, he pulled a Star Destroyer out of the sky with the Force. So, you know, I'm not really sure he's a bar we should be measuring by here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a one-man army. Yeah, so for a long time we knew Vader was scary. But it really was that hallway in Rogue One that made us realize, no, he's absolutely pants-sweatingly terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, that is coming for you, you run or you die. Or your name is Ahsoka Tano. Like, Jesus.
And honestly, just never, ever try to stand in the way of a Skywalker in a hallway.
It doesn't go well.
All right, so we've rambled a lot about examples of the...
Yeah, so we're going to spend the rest of this time kind of talking about the concept itself, because there's some interesting dynamics to think about. Like, for example, again, imagine being the bad guy, getting reports about this one fucker ruining everything.
Which, by the way, that brings us back to the classic evil overlord list. If you don't think someone is a threat now, still send your best after them. Don't just send some worthless lackey after them to let them get stronger.
Boss, we sent the best guys already. They're dead too. I see. Bring me the rot gut. I can't be sober for this. Like, I'm sorry. That is, if you are one of these villains of these movies or games or books or whatever that have this character archetype, find a new line of work. That's the only way you're getting out of this. Like, they show up in your office or your throne room or whatever the hell is genre appropriate. You just go, oh, hey, yeah, no, I was just leaving. No, I quit. I'm done. I think I'm going to go be an accountant or something. You have fun.
Points at janitor. He's actually the boss here.
As of right this moment, he's in charge. Bye.
Janitor just looks around and goes, nope,
I'm out. And of course, there's also the perspective, which you mentioned earlier, of like the people around them watching this unfold. Like, you know, if it's a video game, your merchant type character who, you know, keeps buying all the dead guy's stuff that this person has murdered. And abruptly, I'm flashing back to True Lies. The Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
That one's a classic.
I've killed a lot of people. But they were all bad. Like, just... God. Watching this trope get executed well is always a fun time. whether it's a video game and you're in the driver's seat or it's an action movie.
Let's be honest. Watching this trope get executed poorly is also usually a good time.
It really is. I mean, I think my favorite are some of the ones that are self-aware and poking fun at the trope.
Yeah.
The exaggerated, too good, over the top, too suave character. Clearly there to just take the piss out of this whole mess. Again, I'm flashing back to True Lies and the opposite end of that, where you've got making fun of it by having the horribly inept character kill a whole bunch of people, like when she drops the Uzi down the stairs and kills like four guys completely on accident. And that's really what it boils down to. Is this is a trope that is a lot of fun just to take on face value, but it's even more fun when you start playing with it.
Yeah. And there is another place where we see this trope used a lot, and it almost doesn't warrant a mention.
Oh, what's that?
Can you name a single superhero that isn't a one-person army?
Arm Fall-Off Boy?
I thought he was a villain.
No, I think he's a hero. I don't know. He's a comic, definitely a comic character.
I don't know.
I just know he exists.
And he was played by Nathan Fillion in The Suicide Squad.
That's TDK. It's a completely different character who also takes his arms off.
There's more than one.
There's more than one.
There is more than one character whose arms fall off.
Oh no. Arm Fall Off Boy is even worse because he doesn't even control them after. They just fall off and regrow. That's his power.
What the fuck?
Uh-huh. You told me to name one. I found you one.
I quit.
Well, it seems like we might need a new idiot. Kaiju, do you want to give your opinions on media?
What's a media? Can I eat it?
I mean, technically speaking, you could, but probably not a good idea. I mean, anything is edible once.
There is also a certain aspect of realism to the concept of the one-person army. There are stories out of wars of people who, I mean, they don't go like John Wick level or anything like that, but real people who do these extraordinary feats, typically speaking, extraordinary feats of killing a lot of other motherfuckers.
Yeah. There are countless YouTube lists that run down real life one-man armies. I watched one just like a few weeks ago, in point of fact. Not surprisingly, a lot of them come out of World War II because there was a whole lot of opportunity to commence carnage then. But there have been a few since.
Yeah, I mean, one of the classic ones from World War II is the White Death.
That guy is scary.
Fun fact, I know about him from a Sabaton song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all sorts of people, real people, who have done extraordinary feats and mowed through just ridiculous numbers of people who have no business surviving the encounters they were in, but still survived. And spinning that real world event into these slightly exaggerated, or in some cases very exaggerated, fictional archetypal characters is, well, it's kind of the genesis for the common pop culture concept of what a hero is. Not a superhero, but just a hero. And while that's not entirely accurate from a definition perspective, if you say hero to somebody, they're going to think of somebody who does some of these over-the-top amazing feats.
Yeah, they're rarely going to think of a mundane person doing relatively mundane things.
Yeah. So, all in all, the one-person army as a concept has been around for a while. It definitely found its legs in movies.
So many movies.
And then shifted into video games very easily because, again, video games are a power fantasy. Most of them, anyway.
So are most action movies.
Yeah.
Most action-based media ultimately boils down to being a power fantasy.
And it's very easy in a power fantasy to have the one-person army trope, because what feels more powerful than just walking through a room full of dudes and just taking them apart?
You know, I can think of a one-person army example that predates Rambo.
Oh?
Conan.
True.
Also, Bond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are both characters that would qualify as one-person armies, for sure.
And they originated as literary characters.
They did. They did. You got your literary characters, comic books, movies. Done it all, honestly. So yeah, one-person army as a concept really has a strong root in our psyche by this point. Its place in the cultural zeitgeist is firmly fixed and is likely not going anywhere anytime soon.
It will stay around as long as people keep making power fantasies, honestly.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a great movie idea.
Is it a power fantasy?
It's definitely a power fantasy. It's about a guy who's fed up with everything, and he goes on a massive killing spree.
Well, that's it for this week.
If you like what we do, please give us a like, follow, rating, and all of that nonsense on your favorite podcatcher.
You can also support us on Patreon for special bonus content and episodes a week early, or tip us on Ko-fi. You can find these and our social media platforms and Discord server in the show notes.
Also, be sure to give our friends some love. Whoever the fuck we're promoting this week.
Hey everybody, this is Cody from the Robots Don't Age podcast. Be sure to check us out on all of your podcast streaming platforms and Twitter at Robots Don't Age. And I cannot stress this enough when I say do not start with episode 1. And if you do, please be reassured the quality does get notably better as we progress. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Last but certainly not least, we want to give a quick shout out to all of our supporters on Patreon and Ko-fi, especially these idiots.
Random Warrior, Rain, and the perpetually banned Athen Mortis.
You know what you did.
Oh, and by the way, go read Athen Mortis' fanfic. We forgot to mention that earlier.
Read the what now?
I don't know.